Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3, we'll read verse 16 through 20. John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, I can't preach this except you help me. And honestly, Lord, the people really can't understand it unless the Spirit gives us illumination. Please help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And obviously those verses are familiar to us, but I want to take a look at what happened at the end. John had been preaching righteousness. You see, there are things that are right, and there are things that are not right. And most people, by default, or left to their own devices, they're probably going to do things that are wrong. And I've preached on holiness and righteousness before. It's a fact that most people live for themselves and they do wrong. We live in New Orleans. It's a party atmosphere. It's all about appeasing the flesh. And often we get into trouble and offend the Lord in appeasing the flesh. But John preached righteousness. He preached the truth. He preached how we ought to live from God's perspective. And he was not afraid to say, "Hey, what you're doing there is wrong." And I don't want to go into detail about Herodias, but there was sin there. And John said, "Hey, Herod, you're wrong. Y'all need to stop that." And Herod, I guess, got tired of hearing, "Hey, you're wrong," that he threw John in prison. And that is what our sermon today, or our lesson today, is about. What happened when John ended up in prison for preaching the Word of God? Luke chapter 7. The first, I guess, 17 verses, Jesus is performing miracles. There was the centurion's servant, and I probably preached it before, and then the widow's son from Nain. that boy was raised from the dead. And in just a second, we'll see more evidence, more testimony that Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. There were people that were blind. And after he prayed for them or touched them or what have you, they were instantly able to see. And honestly, all through the Gospels, you will see that the Lord preached, and then as a secondary thing, he healed the sick. But again, we're in Luke chapter 7 and verse 18 and 19. After Jesus performed these two notable miracles, the centurion's servant healed and the widow's son raised from the dead. You know, it says in 16 and 17, after the widow's son was healed or raised from the dead, that there was a great fear that came on all the people that, hey, God is with this man. God from heaven is empowering this man, Jesus, to heal the sick and raise the dead. And it says that they glorified God and said that there was a great prophet that has risen up among us. And they also said that God had visited his people, that God remembered from heaven and visited his people. And it says that everybody in Judea heard about it, and even further than that, the region round about, they had all heard of the wonderful miracles that Jesus had done. But in verse 18 and 19, and the disciples of John, remember John had just gotten thrown into prison, but the disciples of John, they showed John all of these things, or told John all of these things, these miracles and what have you. And John called two of his disciples and said, hey, y'all go to Jesus and ask him this question. Hey, Jesus, I'm in prison. I did right. I know God called me. I know that at the river, when you stepped up, I couldn't help myself. I said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I know that you're doing all these miracles, but I'm in prison. How is it that I'm in prison? Hey, Jesus, are you the Messiah that should come? Or do we look for another? That was what John had come to. He's sitting there rotting in prison, and actually he would soon be beheaded, though whether he knew that or not, I don't know. He went from a great high of preaching at the Jordan, baptizing thousands of people, and even introducing the Messiah and identifying him and preaching about him. But hey, I'm in prison. What went wrong? I don't understand. But in verse 20, it says, when the men, John's disciples, came to Jesus, they said, hey, John the Baptist said, hey, go ask, are you the one that should come? Or should we be looking for another one? Another Messiah, because we don't know if you're it. We don't know if you're the Messiah or not. And again, from his perspective, he's in prison. And I'll elaborate on that in just a minute. But it goes on and reiterates this, that at that same hour, right as John, his disciples ask, hey, are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for someone else? The people were there expecting to be healed, and Jesus continued to heal, continued to lay hands on them, continued the comfort, continued what have you. And in that same hour, at that same time, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and if they had an evil spirit, he banished it. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. And I preached on this a number of times, that the wonderful healing power of the Lord. And I said this the other day, we read the Bible and then we look at church and our Christian lifestyle and what have you. And a lot of what church has and our lifestyle has, a lot of it is good. And you may hear of one being healed here or there, but for the most part, what we see in the Gospels, we don't see in church. Jesus healed everyone that came to him and didn't turn anybody away. He healed people by the tens of thousands. He would, at one point, there were too many people, and he said, hey, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side to get away from all these people. And they could somewhat see across the sea of Galilee, what have you. They knew what direction, they knew the town, if he goes to the left or the right or whatever, they knew what direction, they knew what town, and they would run around. And then when he got there, as he stepped out of the boat, there the people were again and saying, Lord, please heal me, what have you. It was a wonderful time. And the book is true. Every word of the book is true, but generally we don't have this in our churches today. We don't have it on the street today. If we're witnessing at the checkout line, or you're brave enough and you're handing out tracts on Bourbon Street or whatever, generally, we don't have this today. We say we believe in healing, but we rarely see it. Well, I want to say that we may not have it, but I want God's power in my life with everything in me. As we read, we'll see that Jesus, out of compassion, he would heal the sick. Lord, please move through me with compassion. And as I pray with them and counsel them or whatever, please heal them. Again, we don't have this, but I want it. We don't have it today, but I want it. But John's disciples come and they say, hey, you know, John's getting nervous over here. Are you the Messiah, or we got to look for somebody else? And Jesus continues to lay his hands upon people, and they're healed miraculously. But in verse 22, Jesus answered, and he says, hey, disciples of John, go back to him, go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised from the ground, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The works. At one point Jesus said, hey, Pharisees, if you don't believe me, at least believe the works, the miracles, so that you can believe and be saved. Look, go tell John all the things that you saw today, let alone every other day, because Jesus continued his ministry for three and a half years, healing pretty much every day. Go tell John the testimony of the works, the miracles, and tell him hey, don't be offended in me. Now John knew who he was. He's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God. And not only once, but twice he testified of it, that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one that was promised. So why is John saying, hey, I'm getting discouraged here. Are you sure you're the one, or is the one yet coming? Are you the guy, or do we start all over again looking for someone else? You remember, I think it was in Matthew, that Jesus said that he would die, that he would be arrested and beaten, and that he would be tried falsely and condemned to death. Oh, and I'm going to rise again. But Peter said, no, don't talk like that. You're not going to die. I mean, who talks like that? Don't say that. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, adversary. Peter was one of the leading disciples, yet Jesus called him an adversary. That his testimony, his exclamation, hey, no, don't talk like that. You're not going to die, what have you, was against the work of God. It was Jesus' work. Yes, he preached. Yes, he healed the sick, but he really came to be that Lamb of God that gives his life, sheds his blood for the sins of the world. And Peter didn't want to hear it. Peter had a different idea of what the Messiah was about. John had a different idea of what the Messiah was all about. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob had 12 sons, and at the end of his life, he prophesied over each one of them. If I ask you, what tribe did Jesus come from out of the 12 tribes of Israel? You'll say, well, he came from Judah. And you're right. And the lineage in Matthew and in Luke both show exactly that, that Jesus descended from Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We know all of that stuff. In Genesis chapter 49, in verse 8 through 12, I may or may not read all of it, but it says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp or cub. Again, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stoopeth down, he croucheth as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall raise him up? In the great verse, verse 10, again, Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we understand a scepter is the symbol of a king's power. And we know that King David was of the tribe of Judah, and then Solomon and Rehoboam and on down, the kingly line of David. We know that Jesus is the son of David. We know that, what does it say? What did they put above his head when he was crucified? Jesus, the King of the Jews. Okay, fine. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And that prophecy was correct. But Jacob's other prophecy of Joseph is also correct. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. But the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The shepherd, I am the great shepherd, would have you. The shepherd came from the tribe of Joseph. The stone of Israel, the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We know that Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. But Jacob's prophecy of Joseph is also correct, that the shepherd comes from the tribe of Joseph. And the stone of Israel comes from the tribe of Joseph. Well, which is it? Did Jesus come from the tribe of Judah? Or did he come from the tribe of Joseph? And this is a big topic. I need to preach it again, hopefully soon. But the answer is that Jesus came from both tribes. And how is that possible? Because both prophecies talk of Christ's coming. And they're both intertwined. But it talks of his first coming and his second coming. And everybody knows that Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah, and that he's the king of the Jews. I mean, it says the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But then, in verse 11 and 12, still talking about Judah, it says, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. Remember, hey, go into the city and go get one donkey and another one, and bring them both here. And he rode into Jerusalem on one and led the other one behind. And I've taught about this. It's a symbol of going to Calvary. But it's also a symbol of the second coming. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes, which speaks of Calvary. Jesus, the son of Judah, the son of David, went to Calvary. You see, that's what they never expected. Peter says, no, you're not going to die. And John, he found himself in prison after serving God and preaching righteousness, not exactly what he intended. Didn't think he would go that way. You see, Jesus comes twice. The king was nailed to the cross. Not what anybody expected. But he also comes again. But Joseph, the Messiah that comes from Joseph, was a servant. And he suffered. And you can go to Genesis and read all of how he suffered. But from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Peter didn't understand. John didn't understand that Jesus, he had to come once to die, but then he comes back to reign. And they simply didn't understand it. But in verse 24, Again, we're in Luke chapter 7. It says the messengers of John departed. He went back. They went back and told John what Jesus said. Jesus began to speak about John, telling the people what he was all about. And he said, "This is he of whom it is written in Malachi chapter 3, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." John's job was to come and make ready and make a way so that Jesus could come. And again, he preached the Old Testament as strong as he could. He preached righteousness as strong as he could. He preached repentance as strong as he could. And then Jesus could come. And it says that out of everybody that's ever been born up until now, there wasn't a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Again, because he was able to point his finger and say, hey, what the Old Testament said, this is the one, this is him. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. If you sit on the last pew, the back of church, where it's kind of dark, and you're afraid to go further, you're afraid to do anything, but you come and you sing, maybe you put some money in the bucket and you listen to the sermon and you go away and your heart is warmed. If you're the least, you're greater than John the Baptist. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.